Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is directly across from me.
And opposed to everything you have to say.
Diametrically opposed.
No doubt.
Unwisely opposed to common sense measures that would make this country greater.
No, I just haven't heard any from you. But if I do, I certainly will endorse, fully endorse and support them, as you like to say.
Thank you so much. All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at SunburyMotors.com. We have asked for and received another great opportunity to talk to Thane Rosenbaum. He's a CBS News legal analyst. He's given us so much great analysis during these segments. So we thought we'd check in today. We have the U.S. Supreme Court going to hear from the Biden administration for the student loan issue. And we have the abortion pill on the docket in Texas. So good morning, Thane. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Joe.
Much appreciated.
So we have the Biden administration going into court today, the Supreme Court, to argue in favor of spending $500 billion to cut back on student loans for people who borrowed the money knowing that they had to pay it back. What do you think is going to happen there?
Interesting how you put that, Joe. Well, I mean, the real question here for the Supreme Court is, did the President of the United States overreach his constitutional authority? Is he permitted to do something like this? Remember, Congress has power over the purse, so they're always having a problem when it comes to the executive branch trying to do something when it deals with money, right? And this is, as you said, a lot of money. You're talking about, it involves, I think, around 40 million Americans. Around 20 million Americans, and as you said, around half a trillion dollars. Congress normally, since they're in charge of taxing, spending, and allocation, this should be their job. The president is saying, wait a minute, after 9/11, there was something called the HEROES Act. And the purpose of the HEROES Act is to give the Department of Education the authority to cancel debt in the aftermath of an emergency. And that's what the pandemic is. And so you have two different lawsuits that were brought against the administration and a federal decision to stay the cancellation of the debt until the Supreme Court resolves this case. You have some Republican attorneys generals from Republican states that are saying, hey, you know, this is an overreach, and this is money that we might have gotten through federal appropriations. And you have some students that aren't getting the money because they don't qualify. And they brought a lawsuit, too.
Isn't it, though, tough on the president when he's already declared an end to the pandemic? So the emergency technically is over in, what, May?
True. But the position the administration is taking is, but the debt still existed, right? So the debt that existed throughout the pandemic is what we were trying to eliminate because of the circumstances of the emergency. So remember, it was President Trump who initially invoked the HEROES Act to say, here's something we can do for people during the pandemic. If you owe any student loans, we'll suspend the payments for now, and we'll figure out later what we're going to do about them. It was President Biden that said, well, we're just going to cancel them, and we're going to cancel as much as $20,000 for each person. And so that although it's true the conditions of the emergency may have diminished or ended, the debt still remains from the emergency, and that's what we're talking about.
Well, I'm the liberal on this show, and I think it's overreach, but how is this conservative court likely to hear it? You know, that's how we gauge it, is how they tend to hear these arguments.
So there's two things that can happen. One is something the Supreme Court just loves to do, because with the exception of the Dobbs opinion last year on abortion, the court likes to decide cases very incrementally, right? The more narrow the decision, the better. And so one thing they can do is say, neither party here has standing to be before the Supreme Court. Standing is often, it's a procedural mechanism that gets rid of cases, sends them back down on the basis that, yeah, you may have a, there may be a legal claim here, but you're not allowed to bring it because it doesn't involve you, right? So they may say to these Republican states, this doesn't involve you. You know, this is, you're not going to get any of this money. And some of the students are saying, well, it will benefit you, but you're not being prejudiced. It benefits other people because of the category of loan that they took. So they could decide the case solely on the basis of standing. But if they don't choose standing, remember last year, you might, book gentlemen, you may remember there were a number of cases that dealt with the same idea. Overreaches or claimed overreaches, the executive branch to executive orders. Remember the moratorium on rental evictions during the pandemic to stop landlords from evicting people during the pandemic? Remember the vaccine mandates for large corporations? Remember the restrictions that the EPA was putting on coal plants, power plants on emissions? All three of those cases, the Supreme Court said those were overreaches, that the executive branch did not have the authority to do any of those things. And then they essentially struck down the eviction moratorium, the vaccine mandate, and the decision of the EPA. And they call that the major questions doctrine. It's very possible they could do the exact same thing. Major questions doctrine essentially is saying this is beyond the capacity of the executive branch to make this decision. This is for Congress to do, and so therefore we strike it down.
So what is the implication for the future? The president has many things still on his agenda. He has some things that might need court approval as it relates to immigration and changing how asylum is sought and received in the U.S. He has things that relate to funding for Ukraine and other areas. How might this shake out in the future?
So the key word there is funding, right? So if it has to do with substantial overlays, payments, revenue, either receiving or not receiving it, in those instances, this case would fall into that category. It's an overreach on money. But it's always the case. Remember, this happens all the time. We saw this with the Muslim travel ban. We saw this with the building of the wall. Guess what? Congress wasn't involved in those decisions. Oh, remember DACA? Remember? DACA was President Obama. It's not just Republicans. Both Republicans and Democratic presidents often rely on executive order. Why? Because he can't get Congress to do what he wants, right? Or Congress can't talk to each other, right? Because there's all sorts of impasse or divisiveness. And so what happens in cases is, you know, President Obama said, I'd like to overhaul the immigration system, but I can't get Congress to cooperate. So I'm going to do the Dreamers Act, and that's what I'm going to get done. So you're raising a good question. This is going to come up more and more every time decisions that would likely be a legislative decision. Remember, the founding fathers always preferred that the legislature make decisions. Why? Because it's representative democracy. You get to vote for your local congressperson, right? It's a much closer democratic principle than by voting for the president. So this is a long-standing issue in the United States that the founding fathers always preferred that legislators make big-time decisions. But we do have a separation of powers, and when you have impasse, you have the possibility that a president will issue an order or rely on an earlier statute, and it's up to the Supreme Court to decide whether the executive branch had extended its constitutional authority.
As an expert in these matters, do you think he has?
I think that, in general, the HEROES Act, you know, if you look at the on the face of the HEROES Act, it's basically, remember, our country changed dramatically after 9/11, right? There were all sorts of things, surveillance, right, counterterrorism, things that we never even thought about. We created the Department of Homeland Security right after that. We didn't have that. So there's all sorts of things that happened, measures that happened after 9/11. And so the real question is this what Congress thought about when they drafted, enacted the HEROES Act after 9/11? Did they think of things like emergencies where if the legislature doesn't act, the president has the authority to do so. And if you think that's what the Congress attempted to do, it's possible that Joe Biden is within his constitutional authority to make this promise and to follow through on it.
All right, another topic. Mifepristone is on the docket in Texas. The FDA approval is being challenged by an anti-abortion group. Give us an explanation of what's got to be decided there.
Well, remember, you know, Texas is a red state. Texas is one of the states that had provisions in place in case that Dobbs was approved by the Supreme Court and Roe v. Wade was overturned. So now you have ways in which abortion pills can be used in lieu of abortion procedures, right? The Supreme Court in Dobbs, really all it said, and I know I probably said it to you gentlemen last year when we talked about it, even the conservative majority just said the Constitution is silent on abortion. It's not specified as a right, like the right to free speech. And so, therefore, we treat it as a moral issue, not a constitutional issue. And guess what? It's decided by the people, again, representative democracy, through their states and state legislatures, through their elected representatives. So, you know, you have an FDA approval of a drug that actually performs the abortion. But remember, the Supreme Court in the end said, when it comes to the existence of the abortion, we leave that up to each state. And so that it gave a lot of authorities to the states in how to deal with this, even if the FDA approves certain drugs that will perform the same procedure.
You know, we've talked in this program a great deal about the issue, and of course, what we arrive at is that there's no consensus possible, that the both sides are so polarized and so adamant in their positions that there's hardly anything we could think of that would result in a compromise that everybody could live with. Are we missing something? Do you see anything along those lines?
No, I don't, right? Because remember the fetal heartbeat law, which we started to see even before Dobbs, which was to say the minute you can hear a fetal heartbeat, which in many instances doctors said you could do that in 6 weeks, you have a living human being, right? Roe v. Wade says, well, you got to wait 26 weeks until you have the ability of what they call the viability, the fetus, the ability or viability to exist outside the womb. But states like Texas immediately jumped in earlier and said, science is improving and we can decide earlier where life begins. So this really is, you know, what we've seen with abortion since Roe v. Wade. It is true. We're dealing with a moral issue. We're not really dealing with a legal issue, but it can only be resolved through the law because both sides are so polarized and they just will say either the law allows us to do it and science will help us perform it, or we're living in a state that just bans abortion, period.
Are we likely to see this rise up to the U.S. Supreme Court, no matter which side prevails in the court discussion today in Texas?
I think it's possible. I mean, I think that, you know, you have a conservative Supreme Court, and on the issue of abortion, they spoke in a way last year in Dobbs that seemed, you know, no one I'm sure I got it wrong 100 times on CBS. I kept saying, there's no way they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. You know, I'm often wrong. I was wrong each time. So, you know, clearly the conservative majority had a very strong view on abortion, and the attempts by the state to find another way, or not by the state, by individuals to try to find another way to circumvent the rules of the state could very well end up on the Supreme Court again.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your analysis and your observations. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, they talk about stare decisis and the fact that it's settled law, but apparently nothing's ever settled, right, Thing?
You know, this drives law students crazy, right? You know, they're told that, you know, stare decisis dictates the law, but in fact, very often laws are overturned. And when that's happened, you have an entire body of precedent that gets rejected.
Oh, well, that'll keep us in business talking to you for a long time.
Well, I enjoy it. I hope you welcome me back.
Oh, we enjoy having you on. Thank you so
much. Fabulous comments. Always appreciate it. Thank you so much, Thane. Thanks for checking in.
Take care.
Much appreciated. All right. Thane Rosenbaum, CBS News, a legal analyst, talking about the student loan forgiveness program that the Biden administration is putting forth in front of the U.S. Supreme Court today. He says it's within his powers under the emergency acts that have been afforded him since 9/11. And a Texas judge deciding if one of the abortion pills received a proper FDA approval or not, or whether it needs more research. If the judge says it needs more research, it can be taken off the market and it would have a big impact on abortions in the U.S. So just one of the many, what is it? What do you say? A thousand cuts?
Death of a thousand cuts.
On the process of abortion. All right, folks, you are listening to On the Mark, WDKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. We're going to flip to open phones. We'd love to hear from you. You can call us 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WDKOK. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a buzz, and we're enjoying open phones. You can talk about the school loan debacle. You can talk about the Department of Energy. One U.S. government agency has said that they feel the preponderance of evidence about which they have low certainty that COVID came from a lab, either leaked or deliberate. So what's your view on that topic? We'd love to hear from you today. And Hunter Biden, always a good standby in our conversation. All right, we'll be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
At MechTech Incorporated, we know the land development process. As municipal engineers for townships, boroughs, cities, and counties throughout the greater Susquehanna Valley, and as design engineers for homeowners, small businesses, and developers, we have seen hundreds of subdivisions and land development plans take the path from bright idea through construction completion. Have a bright idea? Give us a call. MechTech Incorporated, building on a solid foundation.
From the very beginning, we're all about being connected. And year after year, through every stage of life, that need grows even stronger. Which is why Penn Teledata never stops improving our advanced fiber network. We connect the things that matter most. Businesses, schools, healthcare, governments, and of course, the people who make our community strong. This is technology with a purpose. Stay connected with Penn Teledata.
What do you mean he went searching for fresher powder? We have full classes today.
Instructor down at Vesper Ski School.
Girls toward each other to snowplow, honey. Not a way.
She needs more ski instructors to slalom through the day-to-day.
Pizza? Fries? Whoa, Braley, no! Pizza, pizza!
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to play some ball.
For 3-0, it is gone!
This season, the Nittany Lions have their sights set on Big Ten postseason play.
The near wing with 2 to shoot, he fires it. He got it for 3! At the shot clock buzzer.
Is that 8 in a row now?
Catch every single second of the action right here on the Penn State Sports Network from Learfield.
Catch the Nittany Lions on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Combine Time, and we'll talk with Neil Coulon today, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Wow. So you know spring is right around the corner. Daffodils will be up.
Combine, yes,
they're
you
right.
do.
I don't know much about it, but I know it means spring. All right. Welcome on board, everybody. It's a WKOK Live telephone talk show on the mark. We invite you to call us, 570-743-9565. We talked a little bit with Thane Rosenbaum about a Texas case that's in front of a federal judge now that relates to an abortion pill. The issue is, did it undergo sufficient FDA scrutiny? The FDA says yes, it went through normal procedures, and physicians say it's tried and tested as an effective abortion pill. But this group says no, there's no long-term testing, and they use the same thing that Joe used in one of his examples last week, thalidomide, to talk about long-term things that relate to hormones and so on that can pop up significantly later. So to be continued. We'll hear the outcome of that case. You can call us now, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. One of our favorite angry men is on the line. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
I'm not angry yet, but give me a minute.
Good.
Now, let's assume something here, that Biden is correct and he has the authority to cancel these student loan debts.
Okay.
So where does equal protection come in? Because the only thing he's going to cancel is what is in existence now. What about all future students are going to incur debt through student loans? What's going to happen to their debt
in the future?
Where's the equal protection?
Well, I don't know. Maybe because they borrowed the money outside the pandemic and are required to pay it back out.
The emergency is the key thing. That's, he's using the emergency, as Thane pointed out, as a justification for the HEROES Act and emergencies.
As I was trying to say before I was interrupted.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, this will be outside what the president is recognizing as an emergency. So your guess is as good as mine, Stan, but I would think it wouldn't apply because the emergency is ending.
That's right. It won't apply. So there's no equal protection for everybody.
Well,
that's the problem.
Well,
you're
going to
give
true.
It one time for some innocuous reason, you know, something that he gets pulled out of thin air that he has the authority.
It's called fake news.
But everybody in the future, they're just screwed.
Well,
Is that what we're saying?
They wouldn't be borrowing under an emergency. They're not. They would get equal protection if they were borrowing under an emergency.
Well, a lot of these kids didn't borrow under emergency. They borrowed before 2020,
right?
But they're coming due now. So it's not because of the emergency that they borrowed the money, correct?
Not borrowing. It's the fact that they have the loans during the emergency.
Put that up on the shelf. The basic issue here is and always will be they borrowed the money to purchase something they believe to be of value, an education. And now they don't want to pay it back. That's the problem.
I'm not even sure that it's the students. I think it's mostly the president pandering. I'm not sure that students. I think there'd be a big rally today in front of the U.S. Supreme Court if it was students. I don't even think it's the students saying, I don't want to pay it back. I think there are students who won't pay it back if they don't have to, but I think most students will pay
it back. Well, look at the default rate on these loans anyway, the general default rate.
What is that?
There are a lot of people that don't pay their loans
back.
What's
the percentage?
I thought it was around 20%. Now, I may be wrong in that, but that number sticks in my head.
A lot of things stick in your
head. you're on a roll today.
Joe, they sign on the bottom line. It's their responsibility. I'm not. If I took out a car loan, were they forgiven? How about somebody bought a house? Was that loan forgiven during the pandemic? You know, those people may or may not have been in or out of work because the governor shut down the economy.
Well, your rent might have been forgiven.
They were allowed not to pay rent, but then the landlords got upset because they were getting screwed over.
Well, rightly so.
How does this all work out?
I was right.
Where's the equal protection?
I was right. It is 20%.
It's the default rate for student loans. Federal student loans.
Right. Well, all student loans. Federal. For about 43 million Americans held federal student loans, and the education finance system is under growing pressure as more borrowers struggle to repay, a problem compounded by the complexity of the repayment process. The U.S. Department of Education reports that about 20% of borrowers are in default, typically defined as having gone at least 270 days without a payment, or more than a million loans go into default each year.
the complexity of repayment. Is that what they put in that statement? The complexity of repayment?
Yeah, I thought they sent you a coupon book and you send in a check every month.
that's really complex. And a lot of people, I bet there's a way they could probably do it online these days.
Yeah, well, there probably is. You know, but what do you use, a credit card? That's just exchanging one debt for another.
No, you know, a lot of pit bills you can pay online. You use what, e-check or whatever it is, just like when you go to Giant or Walmart. Not a debit. Check, they call it.
Oh, okay.
Because you're putting your routing number and all that stuff in, and they take it directly from your checking account. You know, that's what you go to Walmart or Giant store or even Wise's and you write a check. They give you your check back because they run it through their scanner thingy. And it takes it out, and you get the check back. Right.
I don't know. I'm too old to stand in line writing checks at Walmart. That takes forever to get cleared. You know, you're standing there, and well, people behind you are always
Walmart
exasperated.
Anyway. Shouldn't be at
Walmart.
You know
what,
anyway.
Joe?
All
right, I don't care. me and debit cards don't get along, so I will write a check every time. Or cash.
Well, I like the debit card.
Well, see, I don't because I tend to be forgetful about certain things, and writing that number down in my book is a very forgetful thing. And you know what happens when you forget the right numbers like that down, Joe, right?
Well, you know what I do? I look at electronic banking from my bank, and I just check every day and reconcile what I wrote in my checkbook with what's on their list. And if I miss something, I record it.
Checks and cash.
That's right, Joe, and I do the same thing, except my stuff's in my checkbook, so I don't have to remember whether or not I actually wrote it or used a debit card.
I don't know, but your call is having an unsettling effect on Mark. He's undressing.
Just the sweater. Just my sweater.
Is it that hot?
Well, he's my sweater. Yeah, you're right. It's
he's wearing suspenders.
It's hot as heck.
You better turn that heat down in there.
Oh, my gosh. Are you guys done with your banking conversation?
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, we're done. But, in all reality, you know, the student loan debacle is going to be just that, a debacle. And if the Supreme Court doesn't say that Biden has no authority, well, then we're screwed. We're just downhill from there.
We're in trouble.
Seriously, if somebody can go sign at the bottom line to take out a loan, and the government just comes along and says, you don't have to pay it, who's going to pay it? You know who's paying it. The taxpayers are going to eventually pay it. Our kids, our grandkids, and their kids and grandkids, because we got such a huge debt. And it's going to just continue and snowball and blah, blah, blah.
Well, here's the problem. So, there is if they forgive that loan, the money just disappears. It's already been spent. So that half a billion dollars isn't available for kids coming along who might need student loans, unless the federal government does something more. But, I mean, you can't just say that half a trillion dollars disappeared.
Well, it's not going to disappear because the government's going to make whoever the lender is whole to that point, right?
It's the federal government. They're federal loans.
Well, okay, they're federal loans. So, yeah, the money's gone, and you're right. It just adds to the debt. Oh, wait a minute. The debt that Biden said that he reduced by whatever trillion dollars.
Well,
it's
I guess
another
lie. He's going to run it back up again.
All right, y'all have a great day. Enjoy the snow if we get
it. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you. Yeah, see, what he's saying is that I ridiculously and foolishly overborrowed a significant amount last year, but less this year, so the debt's gone down. This is WKOK Sunbury.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Supreme Court begins hearing arguments next hour on President Biden's student loan forgiveness program that would wipe out up to $20,000 in debt for millions of people. Correspondent Jan Crawford.
The justices will hear two different challenges. One is by six Republican-led states who say the program will cost them money. And in court papers, they say it's a, quote, breathtaking and transformative exercise of power. The other case is by two students who say the program should do more to relieve student debt.
Newly unsealed court documents show Fox Chairman Rupert Murdoch acknowledged under oath some Fox hosts endorsed fake claims of voter fraud in the 2020 election. He testified as part of Dominion Voting Systems' $1.6 billion lawsuit. The question, says CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman, is,
can it meet that actual high bar of defamation, of showing that the information was false, that they knew it was false, that they did it anyway, and that the executives could have stopped it? Well, we're going to see what happens this spring.
Snowstorms are bookending the country this morning. KOVR-TV Steve Large from the middle of a whiteout that shut down Highway 50 in Northern California.
They're measuring snowfall in feet here. Visibility is near zero at times, and blizzard-like conditions are expected through tomorrow.
New York City is getting its first sizable snowfall of the season. The Secretary of State says the U.S. won't hesitate to sanction Chinese companies if Beijing violates existing sanctions on Russia. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Secretary Blinken in Kazakhstan said again that if China supplies Moscow with lethal aid in its war against Ukraine, it would be a serious problem.
China can't have it both ways when it comes to the Russian aggression in Ukraine. It can't be putting forward peace proposals on the one hand while actually feeding the flames of the fire that Russia has started with the other hand.
An unusual new benefit for Amazon employees. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Amazon workers will soon be able to use company stock as collateral for home loans in a deal with the online mortgage lender Better.com. Amazon has historically paid its employees less than other big tech peers and tried to make up the difference with restricted stock shares given to workers that vest over several years.
Another former sports star has been posthumously diagnosed with CTE.
Give it to him. Rookie of the year, right? Here he goes off his left. And it does everything.
Boston University researchers say former Philadelphia Eagle and CBS NFL announcer Irv Cross was in stage 4 of the brain disease when he died 2 years ago today at the age of 81. This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
It looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means...
Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
A man who symbolized athleticism and wholesomeness more than half a century ago has died.
Bob Richards was the first athlete to appear on a Wheaties cereal box.
I always have an appetite for Wheaties, and I know why Wheaties do such a good job of nourishment.
Richards was a 1950s Olympic gold medal pole vaulter, the only man to win the event twice at the Games. He was a national celebrity. With Wheaties, he was a TV pitchman through the 1960s and a motivational speaker. Richards became an ordained minister before his Olympic heroics and later was a 1984 presidential candidate with the Populist Party. Bob Richards was 97. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Three crew members are suing Alec Baldwin and producers of his movie Rust after the on-set shooting that killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins. They claim they're dealing with anxiety, depression, and PTSD from witnessing the flash of Baldwin's shotgun. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means...
Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. One of our listeners asked us a question. What's the temperature? We can answer that. It's 35 degrees, so no change. All right. Joe, I think we've done our good today.
Thank you. And that's it for the day. Our show's over.
Didn't work out. We're shutting her down. All right. No, we answered one question already. So, yeah, still 35 degrees. Going up to 39 by the time we get to 11 a.m. or so. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out. SunburyMotors.com. Our phone is open. Our line is open. 570-743-9565 is the telephone number. That's 570-743-WDKOK. We talked about an abortion pill that's on the court docket in Texas. And if it is ruled in that particular court that the FDA was negligent or too hasty in their approval, then that pill's removed from the market and from usage everywhere. So, millions and millions of uses of that pill each year would be impacted by that. Of course, as Thane Rosenbaum said, it would surely go to the U.S. Supreme Court pretty directly. So we'll keep an eye on, probably no matter who wins, it's headed to the high court. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's see. We also talked about some other issues, but we would invite you to contact us with a topic of your selection. Dale was waiting during the first half hour and then lost patience. Dale, go ahead. You're on the mark. What's on your mind today?
I just want to talk about the banking cartel and why can't we give the students a bone? I mean, they're holding $20 trillion of our money. They took $20 trillion out of our economy. That means that they don't want you having any money to buy anything Chinese. But they're going to use that money.
Dale.
That's in Chinese middle class.
Dale.
So which don't make sense with that.
What do you think the banks do with their trillions of dollars?
What they're doing is they think they're playing a war with China, financial war. So they're holding that $20 trillion they took out of our economy, so you can't buy Chinese goods. But they're taking the money that they did from you, and they're investing in the Chinese middle class.
Actually, that's not true. What they are doing with their trillions of dollars is they're loaning it back out to businesses and individuals and car buyers and house buyers.
Yo,
and
Mark.
You work with us here,
so
Mark.
You're so indoctrinated.
Work with us here.
I'm serious.
Okay.
You are really sending bad messages. Listen, be teachable for once in your life.
Yeah,
okay?
Be teachable.
Oh, teachable. Okay, I got you.
Here's what the deal is. Remember Bill Clinton said, whoever bets against the United States is going to lose. The whole thing was, that's where he knew BlackRock was being established. It's called the banking cartel. So, you know, when they don't want death row, they don't want people to get in death families. That's because they're banking on them. They're banking on you paying to make a profit to keep them in prison longer. That's called the banking cartel. You know, it's cheaper for just to kill them.
I'll let Joe try.
It's cheaper to kill whom?
Whoever's on death row. It's cheaper. But the banking cartel don't want no one being killed because they're not going to make a profit.
So we can we could save money by killing the people on death row, and the banks don't want to do that because they're not making a profit. You've lost me there. I know that you're
for an important
point.
If a state wants to put someone executed, the federal government steps in, and the banking cartel says, hold on, they're a commodity. We can make money off them. We're going to charge a taxpayer a lifetime full of money to keep them alive.
Well, how
so
is the banking...
That's the only reason why we keep them alive.
Wait a
second.
You
understand that because the banking cartel
but
is
Dale,
involved.
But Dale, how does the banking cartel make money on people being incarcerated? We have to
because
pay money to keep them in there.
They charge a taxpayer $23,000 a year for one prisoner being housed.
Who charges them? I'm trying to understand.
The federal government charges the taxpayer $23,000 for one prisoner a year. Okay.
All right,
so if you take that $23,000 times 20 or 40, that's a profit. That's a commodity. You don't want to kill a commodity. So here's the thing. If we give them student loan forgiveness, okay, if we do give that loan, that's telling China, that's signaling to China that, yeah, we're all aboard. We're going to take this $20 trillion and come over and invest it in your middle class. So this is going to be a big chip.
So if I understand you correctly, you're saying that if we give the student loan forgiveness to these American students, that that's going to benefit the Chinese. Is that what you're saying? How?
That's what. Listen, follow me.
I'm trying. Believe me, I'm trying.
The United States will lose. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he was talking about BlackRock taking all this money and taking it over to China. That's the whole. That's the signal that he was telling. Oh. That was the first call. So now, if they give this student loan, that means that the banking cartel is going to throw last bone and then get out of Dodge.
The last bone and get out of Dodge. Mark, right. are you understanding this now?
I'm still stuck
I tell you, why don't we just give it to them? The banking cartel, everybody pieces the banking cartel, local government, state government, you know. We can't, you know, in national security's investment, cameras for our red lights. Instead of making better weapons, they are using national security money for cameras to spy on you. Does that make sense, people?
Right, they're spying on you. All right, we got you, Dale.
You just got to step back and stop being indoctrinated.
Well, this was worth the wait.
See, Biden's blaming the media now. All bad news. Now, who's the media going to blame? Oh, the media's going to blame China now.
No, I blame...
All passing the
I
buck.
Don't think President Biden is blaming the media for
news. I would blame the media over China.
Well, I blame the Bar Association. It's their work.
Well,
I can tell it.
That's one of their biggest assets. That's the head of the snake. We cut the head off the snake, and that's it.
Bar Association is the head of the snake.
Right, and the pigeons are the rest, the body.
Banking cartel's best weapon is the Bar Association.
Joe, you should know by now that if you cut off the head of the...
They don't use English.
All right, thank you, Dale.
Yes, thank you. Well, for setting us straight. I mean, who knew?
So much to think about there.
Yes.
Wow. If you cut off the head of the snake, the pigeon can't fly, and that's what causes the unteachable.
So
like
the pigeons
myself.
Are inside the snake?
I'm unteachable.
You cut the head off the snake and the pigeons come out?
My lovely bride has called me an infractor. I wonder if this is
the
same thing. Yes. Infractor. Yes. So we have household standards to which I don't adhere.
Well, you need to be teachable. I think Dale had a very important point there.
Has something to do with the laundry bucket, the hamper, and that's all we'll say about that. All right, 570, folks, 743-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We would love to hear from you, and give us a buzz, 570-743-WKOK. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines here. Salvation Army said thank you so much to the entire community yesterday for the 2022 Here for Good campaign. They were there with a check from Mifflinburg Bank and Trust for $138,509.21, and that was the amount raised during the fundraising last year for Here for Good. AP reporting that a spokesman for U.S. Senator John Fetterman says the Democrat is on a path to recovery after checking himself into a hospital for clinical depression. They say it'll be several more weeks until he's back at work. Lieutenant Governor Austin Davis in Harrisburg offered a sneak peek of the budget proposal from Governor Josh Shapiro. That'll be unveiled a week from today.
Speaking to the Pennsylvania Press Club, Davis said the budget will reflect the administration's top priorities of creating safer communities, family-sustaining jobs, and high-quality education.
If you live in an area with lower income and lower property values, your schools are going to be under-resourced. And so we have to figure out a way to drive more funding more equitably to these school districts. And I will say stay tuned for our budget, because I think there's going to be a lot to say about creating a more equitable education system in Harrisburg.
A recent Commonwealth Court ruling said that all schools in the state must be supported equally. Davis says the administration has been meeting with lawmakers and stakeholders across the state to seek their budget priorities. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We talked about masking and mandatory masking. Well, three Columbia County residents were fined but avoided jail time for refusing to wear masks at a Southern Columbia school board meeting back in 2021. The news item reporting 71-year-old Gary Crum, 46-year-old Catherine Detweiler, and 71-year-old Elaine Barnhart, all of Calawissa, were told by school district officials to wear a mask or leave a school board building. They declined to do so. All three were found guilty in January of defiant trespassing, which is a first-degree misdemeanor. According to the Columbia County DA's office, all were ordered to pay a $1,000 fine, serve a year on probation, and complete 50 hours of community service for refusing to wear a mask at a school board meeting. Philadelphia Inquirer is reporting. Two Berks County engineers have launched the latest proposal to boost Pennsylvania's electricity production with another hydroelectric dam. Taking a first key step, York Energy Storage LLC applied February 6 for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission approval to conduct a four-year feasibility study on a $2.1 billion dam and power turbine project. It would use water pumped from the Susquehanna River to keep the region's electric power flowing, especially when the state's solar and wind plants aren't making enough power. In other words, they would use the electricity when the wind and solar is working to pump water into a holding facility, then release it, generating hydroelectric power when the sun and the wind ain't blowing or shining, or vice versa. So this is pending. We have more details about that at WKOK.com. Let's see. In Washington, D.C., crisis experts say cars need AM radios. Of all the bells and whistles on new cars, one thing is missing in some Teslas. It's an AM radio. Now a group of emergency management experts is speaking up in a letter to the government. They say we need AM radio during times of crisis. They're concerned that without access to AM radio, some drivers would be cut off from important safety alerts like weather conditions. Ford took AM radios out of their 2023 F-150 electric trucks only to receive extensive pushback. They say the AM frequencies were affected by electromagnetic noise in the EV system. They are being ordered to place those radios back in futurely constructed trucks. And what are economists now saying about a recession? A new survey says 60% people believe we may enter a recession in the next 12 months. Most say it'll happen later this year. With inflation still going strong and the Fed open to another interest rate hike, economists couldn't agree on when inflation would ease. And most said unemployment will likely go up, but not above 5%, which is one of the indicators of a true recession. And Joe, you said we're already in a depression, right, because of the bad economic times
that
we're in?
No, I said people are depressed about the economy. That's a depression.
No, you said we were in a depression.
We are. People are depressed about the economy.
Oh, and that's a depression.
That's
it has nothing
depression.
To do with the numbers, which are probably mixed.
It has to
do,
the numbers are irrelevant if people feel they're worse off, and the surveys show people feel they're worse off now than they were when Biden came into office.
Well, that's true. There's no argument about that.
So
inflation
hence,
is the...
Hence, people are depressed, and we are in a depression.
Inflation is the keystone of public opinion on the economy. Okay, and gas prices, too. So one is down, but the other is still up. Bob from PacSinus, PA, thanks for calling in. Thanks for getting in, and we appreciate it. Good morning.
Hey, yeah, if you're in depression, you need to seek help. You better go to a therapist.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Fetterman's already there.
But you know what? Down at the end of Sunbury, there's a new gas station that opened up. Their gas was $3.40 yesterday. Across the river is like $3.60-$3.79.
Yeah, that's about the average around here. It's $3.44 at the gas war sites in Lewisburg and $3.40 in Sunbury.
Yeah, $3.40 over this new gas station that opened up, Crotcher's gas station by Wise Markets. But anybody that wants to get lesser expense gas, go there. But I'm calling about the student loan forgiveness, and I hope they see that Biden didn't do anything wrong, and I hope they pay it off because it's going to help all these young people that are trying to, you know, make a new life for themselves.
Is it
look how many people go to college and have $300,000 debt, and it takes them years. You know what? My house didn't even cost me $300,000 to buy it, and it took me 20 years plus 30 years to pay it off.
Okay, but Bob, here's the issue. Some of these people have jobs that are very high paying. Others, well beyond
right.
what other people get in the area. Why should we give them a break? They got something of value for the money that we gave them, that we loaned them. They got an education.
I believe there's a cap of like $20,000, if I'm right.
That's it. It's $20,000.
Okay.
That's a lot of money.
But you go to a little college, you know, these, what do they call them, these colleges?
Community colleges. Oh, community college, okay.
They're very cheap, you know. They're like maybe $10,000 a year. So you're going to have to claim that on your taxes as income. You're not going to get a tax write-off for it. You're going to have to claim it as income.
The $20,000?
Yeah.
The new money again.
All right. So then what we're doing, we're taking out of one hand pocket and putting it back in the other.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's helping people in America. Look at the money we're putting into the other countries' wars. It's sad that we have to do that.
Well, can foreign students get federal loans?
And look how much it cost us to feed students today in schools alone. Give them free lunches. How much do you think that costs us taxpayers a year per person to feed them? How much do you think it costs us to house an inmate in prison for a year?
Well, we've just heard from a prior caller that it's cheaper to kill them, so should we do that?
Yeah, cut off the head of the snake.
That topic should never even be brought up.
Well, our prior caller.
As far as the birth control pill goes, I think that's a woman's right. States shouldn't be able to, you know, take things away from women's rights.
Well, they're not saying that women. The argument here isn't whether the woman has a right to an abortion or not. It's whether this pill was properly tested by the FDA with long-term tests.
Yeah.
I mean, their motive
You're willing to take a pill if the doctor prescribes it to you, aren't you?
Right, but they're trying to say the FDA didn't go through sufficient testing of it.
Okay, well then maybe that has to be looked into. I have no idea about it. I don't have to worry. I'm a man, so.
All right, we got you.
I don't have to worry about that.
There you go. All right, thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
We got one break there,
all right? I'll talk to you next month.
All right. We hope so.
Yes,
thank you, sir.
Hopefully we will.
Right. You could have another minute today. One of our listeners says gas prices are back to normal at that new gas station, but elsewhere in Sunbury, they're $3.44 a gallon. So shop around. Hit your Gas Buddy app. All right. I got two callers waiting, so I'm going to hit the button now. We'll be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Raising your grandchildren or loved one's children is an honor that allows them to live, grow, and thrive among family. Providing a safe, loving home is rewarding and challenging, but you're not alone. Pennsylvania Kin Connector is here to help kinship families. Kin Connector is a free resource of skilled, compassionate professionals who will connect you to services, training, and support groups. Call 1-866-546-2111 or visit kinconnector.org today.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Psst, psst, hey, keep your eyes on the road, but listen up, because I've got some exciting PA Turnpike information coming in hot. Get this, EasyPass can save drivers nearly 60% on PA Turnpike tolls.
And as a big-time road pro, I'm telling you, that's a lot of savings. Find a local retailer at paturnpike.com and get your own easy pass today. Okay, eyes on the road. Bye.
Sponsored by the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
To prove that mobile from Pentel and Data Business Voice brings the office everywhere you are, I'm going to connect with my team while falling 15,000 feet!
We're here, boss. We hear you loud and clear.
Thanks, Janice. You know, companies today need affordable, cloud-based, unlimited calling, conferencing, mobile synergy, and easy upgrades to grow with your business to keep you, well, truly mobile.
Pentel and Data Business Voice. Anywhere you are.
Janice?
Yeah, boss?
Yeah, I'm going to need a little help.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ernie Accorsi, when you look at Kansas City and Philadelphia from that GM seat, how masterful were each of these guys to help get their teams there?
I would tell young people, study those two clubs. They all have two what I thought are the most important ingredients in building a team. Number one, the quarterback, and number two, the pass rush. Now you can compete.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right, before we hit the phones, read this, and then we're going to read this email every day.
Right, it says, good morning, Mark and Joe. This is Bill from Greencastle. I find the spirited give and take between the two of you to be a marvelous example of the dying art of civilized discourse in a public forum. You even share a chuckle every once in a while, in a blue moon, rather. Have a great day, gentlemen.
Stupid twits, Joe.
You idiot.
No, thank you. Anyway, Chris, you're on the mark.
Yeah, about the stuff that came out about Fox News and their depositions yesterday, or the day before, was about that they knew they were lying about the election and issues related to the results of the election and the people who are suing them. And they knew it was false and believed it was false, and yet they decided to go with it anyway. And the reason they decided to go with it was not because it was somehow good for the country to believe otherwise or anything. It was because they were hemorrhaging viewers to the more radical stations that were willing to continue
Where did you get that? I heard, I was watching CNN this morning and MSNBC, ironically, and they both were reporting about Rupert Murdoch's testimony where he said Fox didn't do this, the hosts did it. He was separating the network and the news division.
Rupert said he didn't believe in it, too.
Right. He said he doesn't have anything for Donald Trump.
And Hannity and the under oath said no, he didn't believe it for a minute.
No, but
and
I mean, it wasn't.
Also did.
It wasn't Fox. Fox. It was the commentators that he was saying did it, not Fox News.
Well, one of the commentators was actually called an news anchor and not a commentator.
Oh, yeah, the fellow on the weekend. His
the
name
woman,
escapes
the
me.
The woman, I think. It
yeah,
was.
Okay. Maria Bartiromo.
But and so it wasn't. It was a company policy, and it was the commentator's decision to report on things they believed were false and say otherwise. They endorsed them.
Right, but look at MSNBC, look at CNN and Don Lemon. They don't endorse his comment that women are past their prime when they're in their 30s and 40s.
That's right, and it caused a nice little flap there, too.
Right,
but
it did.
The point is that was the policy of the station to continue reporting on it the way it was, and they let their commentators do it, and the commentators themselves admitted they knew it was false.
Right. I was interested to show you that.
And now you compare that to regular news agencies. You're always saying the mainstream media is unreliable, but I don't know of any other news station that would do that.
Well, look at all the news stations they came on and said they.
You always dump on the Washington Post.
No, but look at all the
CBS, and they don't do things like that.
Look at all the media stories that came out from the mainstream media that said that the Russian dossier was legitimate and that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation.
Deflection.
Yeah, but they didn't really say that, did they?
Yes, they did. They did indeed.
deflected.
They reported on what it said and the people.
Deflecting. Did the Fox News commentators lie to the public
people,
or not?
But they never said they didn't believe those people, but reported it on it anyway.
That ain't the way I heard it.
Well, I don't think you're hearing it too well.
Yeah, you don't hear it too well, Joe. We've established
that. Fox News is an outlier in terms of stations that call themselves news. People on CBS, NBC, ABC, and even MSNBC have never been shown to be reporting on things they believe not to be true and saying they were.
Well, I disagree.
That's a big difference between the stations, and it's a comparison you never take in. And just like the report, the conversation yesterday about I'm sorry, I've lost track of what I was going to say about that.
Anyway, moving
right
on.
Now. I'd
like to help you, but I don't remember what it is you were talking about.
We hadn't gotten to it yet. All right. One of our listeners says, oh, Chris, the mainstream media knew the Trump-Russian collusion story was a lie and still broadcast the lie
24/7. No, they reported on things that were the report said that his conclusions weren't conclusive.
Gotcha.
So that's completely different. I mean, that was part of what they were reporting on.
All right, what else you got, Chris? Anything else?
And it's the double standard you hold people to. Oh, I know. It was about the Scott Adams. Scott Adams.
Gilbert.
Yeah, Gilbert. About the distrust between blacks believing there's discrimination against black people and whether they believe it's all right to be white and all that. Well, white people have distinctly been lynching black people, trying to prevent them from getting the vote, stopping them from voting. And so that discrimination's actually real and happened. So black people are basing their beliefs on things like that.
Right.
What are white people placing their beliefs on?
All right,
it's not an even comparison.
Gotcha. All right, listen, we got to get another call going. Anything else to add, sir? Thank you.
Oh, we'll talk about it more later.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Always glad to hear from you. One of our listeners says, I hope the FDA approves a new drug for Trump derangement syndrome, and Chris gets a lifetime prescription for it. do the FDA text, and then we'll get Mike
going.
All right.
The FDA is now a political organization, and the abortion pill approval was pushed through after the Supreme Court of the United States Dobbs decision, to push an agenda. And then, Bob, why should the non-college-educated pay for the college-educated loan bill? Where's the fairness there, Bob? And finally, hydropower from the Susquehanna, not a bad idea, but unless you're using the Fabra Dam, the environment wackos will have a fit with a new dam.
Yeah, they're not going to. It is hydroelectric power, but it's not. They don't need a new dam to do it. I don't think FERC would ever allow another dam, but what they're going to do is they're going to use abundant wind and solar energy when it's abundant to pump water into holding area, and then when the wind and the sun die down, they'll let the water come out of that holding area and drive turbines to pump it. Well, it's a $2
billion. Another cockamamie idea.
Well, it's better than I know. You never saw a piece of coal that shouldn't be burned. I love it.
Let's get the coal fired up again.
All right, read the upper right-hand corner I put Mike on. No, not loud. On the...
Well, no, that's...
Mike, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, what you're talking about there, Mark, is pumped storage. And there's some pluses and minuses to that. I've actually been in some pumped storage facilities, and they work very well, especially like during the night when the electrical load demand is down. They use that electricity to pump water up to a higher elevation, and then the following morning when demand goes up, they let that water out of the reservoir down to a lower elevation to spin a turbine and a generator, and they make electricity. And it has a good idea, but, you know, it's like anything else. On the surface, they look great, But then once you put it into practice, you start finding out things that happened that you didn't count on, like changes in water table, in pressure, you know, maybe minor earthquakes and things like that. So hopefully it'll get through the process where they have to okay it. I think they said 4 years that would be. You know, who knows what will happen in 4 years.
If you want to see more, Philadelphia Inquirer has a good article on it.
Okay, good. Hey, anyway, I actually wanted to talk about my call yesterday. And before I do that, I want to introduce your listeners to a book called Menticide, Rape of the Mind. And the first chapter basically details prisoners of war, mainly officers, where they are basically convinced to make false statements about, you know, what their country was doing and how bad their country was and evil and all that business. And, you know, they essentially got them, you know, almost to believe what they were saying, because they were saying it, you know, they would, you know, but then after they were deprogrammed, they would recant their statements and things like that. Well, yesterday on air, I said that there were 1 million encounters of illegal aliens at our southern border in the last five months, starting in October, okay? And again, I'll say 1 million encounters. Well, a caller subsequent to me came on the air, and I think initially I thought he was trying to mock me. He said, there's been 1 million stops at the border, so that's evidence that the border is opened, okay? And I tried to digest what that person was saying and what his point was. And like I said, at first I thought he was kind of mocking me, and I don't know, you called it low-hanging fruit and that he could do better than that, I think.
You may have missed his point. My what I took away from that conversation was the fact that there were 1 million encounters means that they stopped 1 million people and that the border is not as bad as we thought it was. I think that was his point. I may be wrong, but that's what stuck in my head.
Right, that's right, because he used the word stop, which meant those people were prevented. Stop is prevention, prevented from coming into the country. No, my point was that border agents and border security are basically being used as travel agents to facilitate the processing of these people that come in. I don't get my information from the mainstream media. I like to, you know, look around and find some people that are on the ground, that are independent journalists, that have the training, that speak multiple languages. And what he reports is that most of these people are dropping their money and dropping their identification on the ground before they approach the United States. And in fact, he was reporting on this before Biden was president. And he would be down in South America where these people were staged ready to head north. And they said, well, are you getting into the country? And they said, well, we hope so. And that was when, you know, Trump was president. But as soon as Biden was elected, it was, yeah, we're getting in. He said come. And I could go on and on about what's happening at the southern border in Latin America, but I'm not. But the point I want to make is the person that said, use the word stop, when I used the term encounter, I believe that that person used that word stop to reinforce his belief that the border is actually secure and actually closed and actually we're following the law, when I don't believe that is true. So I'm using the word encounter, and that person is using the word stop because I believe that he's basically programmed, and deep inside, he has eyes. He sees what's going on, and he knows what's happening, but he can't admit that our border is open, so he used the word stop. They were stopped, and then he tried to mock me. You know, he didn't call me a conspiracy theorist this time or a companzer or anything like that, but he just reinforced his mind to believe what's not true. That's my opinion, again. One man's opinion is another person's truth or another person's lie. It just depends on your perspective, and I believe that fellow's just misleading himself.
Okay, I think that was Chris you were talking about from yesterday.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, absolutely it was said, but I wasn't going to use the person by name, but now that you mentioned it, I'll verify that.
Okay. Well, open is in the mind of the beholder, so, you know, what one person says it's an open border is because there are, of course, many, many seals on the border sealing it up, but there's many, many holes, too, and obviously people are getting in, either smuggled in or just sneaking in at open spots or wherever they can. But whether it's open or not is really immaterial. The fact is we do have a crisis there. We don't have enough infrastructure in place to stop people from coming in. and it's causing big problems, and it's going to keep on going. President Biden has sort of a little trickle-down method of addressing it. Obviously, President Trump very verbally and very aggressively tried to take actions that stopped things. He had the pandemic on his side when it came to the Act 42 measure, so that was assistive. But whoever is our next president is going to have to do something, and it'll be way too late for many, many people who will already be here. So to be continued, and it's like abortion, as Joe always points out, that this country doesn't have the will to come up with a definitive abortion plan because there's no agreement. Immigration's right. The same way. You know, some people don't want a sealed border. They want more open asylum.
They want more voters for their party.
Well, Republicans are getting them, too. You should be happy. All right, Mike, we got to hit the road, but thank you, sir.
Okay, hey, you're welcome, and we'll report more in on this border situation.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. 570-743-9565. Call us now.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You earned it. We'll help you keep it. Hi, this is JP from Shimox Furniture World. During our tax time savings event, we will pay your sales tax. That's right. Keep more of your hard-earned money because we'll pay your sales tax. Don't worry. Uncle Sam will still get his, but it won't be coming from you. If you haven't been to our new larger location in Mount Carmel, this is my personal invitation and is a great time to visit us. We now have 56,000 square feet to showcase more bedrooms, living rooms, dining rooms, recliners, lift chairs, mattresses, and more. We have great deals on American-made recliners starting at $399, lift chairs at just $699, and a free adjustable base with the purchase of a Serta iComfort or Arctic Queen or King mattress. All this with free delivery, setup, and removal of your old furniture or mattress. And during our tax time savings event, we will pay your sales tax. You earned it, we'll help you keep it. Come in and experience our new beautiful location at Shimox Furniture World, 121 East 5th Street in Mount Carmel. We've been selling happiness since 1915.
What can you do to prevent the chances of having a heart attack? Awareness of heart health is the first step. Learn more with Evangelical Community Hospital as we rock red for healthy hearts.
Hi, I'm Melanie Patel, a cardiologist at the Heart and Vascular Center of Evangelical. Every minute, a woman dies from heart disease in the United States. Did you know that women's heart attack symptoms differ from men's? A large percentage of women experience no chest pain, but instead have shortness of breath, nausea, palpitations, jaw discomfort, or overwhelming fatigue. It's important to pay attention to the signs your body is giving you. Heart disease and stroke can affect a woman at any age, so have the conversation with your doctor. Understand your personal risk factors and take the time to understand your family history of cardiovascular disease. At the Heart and Vascular Center, if you and your heart need some extra help, we're here for you.
Join News Radio 1070 WKOK and Evangelical Community Hospital as we rock red for healthy hearts. For more information, go to WKOK.com.
Oh, our good friend Tom has a
Tom,
message for me.
Tom.
He says, Joe, you make me sick.
Exclamation point.
Well, that's why I read it that way. Joe, you make me sick. If the son were a Republican, you would make an excuse for it coming up every day.
Republican.
If the son were a Republican, you would make an excuse for it coming up every day. What the heck does that mean?
I don't get that one.
I'm sorry, Tom. You make me sick, Joe. Joe makes me sick. Mike's mind was raped. We agree.
Okay. Oh, come on, people. We are a conduit for some of the vitriol that people like to give each other.
Hey, You know, that's our goal here, to make Tom sick. I start out every day saying, what can I say today that will make Tom sick?
Well, you made Dale nauseous earlier. Okay.
And then one of our other emailers says, your house is usually the biggest loan incurred. People lose their houses when they don't pay their mortgage debt. Credit card debt is a national problem. Why not forgive that debt? That would certainly help a lot of people.
Yeah, just even up every debt.
The list can continue. Why should people who do pay their bills be responsible for people who don't? Craziness. You borrow money, pay it back. That's right. Couldn't agree with that more.
I'd like the Ford Motor Company to forgive my truck loan.
And then one of our texters says, laughing out loud, Chris, your ears need checked. Every mainstream media network spread the Trump-Russia lie and are still lying about it after 6 years. Not reporting, spreading lies.
All right, one of our good listeners calls attention. Oh, Jim's on the phone from Ashland. Mm-hmm. Last caller before a quickie break. Go ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning. I'm thrilled to see that Linda Culver got sworn in. Right?
Yes.
Yesterday?
No, yeah. Today.
No, today.
It's today.
Because I talked to Linda.
Today.
Yeah, I talked to Linda yesterday, and she had not been sworn in yet.
Yeah, oh, we lied about today.
That's good. Joe, you do not make me sick. Democrats make me sick.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah. Well, they do.
I believe
you. Overspending and whatnot. But
Anyway. Democrats are the big overspenders. You know how much the debt went up when Trump was in office?
Not as much as when Biden was.
No,
we
no.
We have a bunch of rhinos. They're not real Republicans.
Well, Trump
not,
is
well,
a rhino. Well, that's a new one. I got you. Okay. Well, I don't think Democrats are the big borrowers. I think it's an equal opportunity. Trump did $7 trillion.
I think that, I'll be honest with you, I think that a lot of this money that we sent to Ukraine was laundering, come back to both parties. It would not surprise me.
Okay. Well, I was talking about national debt. Most of it lately is under Trump.
Well, why don't we get rid of that? You know, but we won't.
Forgive it. Why can't the president forgive the $31 trillion? That's a good question.
No. That's not. There's no free lunch. You know, Thomas Sowell wrote an article many years ago about that. Somebody's paying for it. You may eat it free, but somebody is paying for it.
Well, I'm going to Ashland.
Or am I wrong?
I'm going to Ashland. No. My buddy Jim's
going
to give me a
free
lunch.
You're absolutely right. There is no free lunch. Somebody has to pay the bill.
Come to Ashland, sure.
Yeah. You're on.
Okay.
You're on.
Guys have a good day.
No, wait.
But
you're
right.
Didn't you have a point?
Oh. What?
You had a reason you called, right?
Beyond the harassment for me.
I think that we need to keep moving forward in a positive manner, but it's so hard because of some of the stupidity that we have to deal with on both sides. Extremism doesn't win. I mean, doesn't really get you far. You know, it feels good, but it's not going to win things and make the average person's not extreme. Or am I wrong?
Oh, I agree with you. I don't think the average person is extreme. I think that people can have extreme views on a given subject without, on the overall, being extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people are extreme.
We come from a bunch of forefathers who fought for our freedom, like William Washington. He was born today. He was a cousin of course, George. He fought down south, and he helped us win our freedom from Britain. But I don't know if today we'd have the same kind of people stepping up, or they would all be Tories. You know, I just don't know.
How close were we to having slaves permitted in the U.S., and how close were we to speaking English? English.
Slaves were permitted, but we outlawed them once we became American in 1804 above the Mason-Dixon line. And most people, that three-fifths thing, that has to do with the fact that the South outnumbered us numerically, people-wise. So it wasn't that we had a choice. Do we want a union with slavery or no union and abolish slavery? That was the choice. Am I wrong?
Well, we could have had two separate countries. We could have said the North could have formed about seven or eight states and had no slavery, and the South could have formed their own union and had many as they wanted.
Yeah, one of our listeners says William Washington was a second cousin of George Washington, not a brother.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I misspoke. please forgive me. No problem. You guys have a great day. Well, it's always too, good to listen to you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, Jim. Much
appreciated. Take care, Jim. Take care.
All right, read that upper right-hand corner one, if you will.
All right, let me see all of it. UPMC, a renowned cardiothoracic surgeon there and a physicians group, will pay the federal government $8.5 million to settle a lawsuit accusing them of knowingly submitting hundreds of false claims to Medicare, failing to follow medical standards for surgery, and knowingly placing patients at risk. Jeez. The U.S. Attorney's Office filed a lawsuit against UPMC, Dr. James Luktich, and the University of Pittsburgh physicians in September 2021, alleging Luktich was regularly scheduling multiple complex surgeries at the same time, forcing him to move between operating rooms and sometimes hospitals, while requiring patients to stay under additional hours of anesthesia. In one case, the patient lost parts of a hand, and another lost a lower leg as a result, the government said.
$8.5 million, that's nothing. Hopefully the civil suits will get more for them. Another listener sends us a note, says, Joe will no doubt be delighted to hear that Senator Rothman in Harrisburg has reintroduced the local radar bill.
Yes, Senator Rothman is one of our biggest supporters.
Oh, okay, super. All right, folks, we have time for some more telephone calls. Call us now, 570-743-9565. Boy, we talked about student loan debt and President Biden. And
yeah, let's talk about Texas for a minute. There's a comment to be made.
Thing?
Yes, there's interesting comment on that.
All right. Well, you're going to have to deliver it in shortly. 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Today on Hey Culligan, Smart Home, Smarter Water Softener. Here's Kevin.
Hey Culligan, can a smart water softener lift those heavy salt bags for me?
Kevin, it can.
Wait, it can?
Yep, the smart high-efficiency water softener from Culligan can alert your dealer when the salt needs to be replaced, and they'll do it for you, so your water stays soft and you stay away from lifting the bags.
I mean, I could lift them if I wanted.
No judgment here, Kevin. We're happy to do it, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Call Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania today for all your water treatment needs and set up a free in-home water test with a water professional that knows the water where you live. Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-788-1978. That's 1-800-788-1978. Or visit them online at callculligan.com. That website again is callculligan.com. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
From the very beginning, we're all about being connected. And year after year, through every stage of life, that need grows even stronger. Which is why Penn Teledata never stops improving our advanced fiber network. We connect the things that matter most. Businesses, schools, healthcare, governments, and of course, the people who make our community strong. This is technology with a purpose. Stay connected with Penn Teledata.
It's time to play some ball.
Goes to the far wing, hands it off down the lane. Elliott slam dunk, Penn State 67.
This season, the Nittany Lions have their sights set on Big Ten postseason play.
Cut off in the pass, now to his left, through an opening, now cut off for three in the lead. It's good! Basket counts and a foul.
Catch every single second of the action right here on the Penn State Sports Network from Learfield.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones. Combine time, and we'll talk with Neil Coulong today, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070, WKOK.
All right.
All right. You know, we talk a lot, we've covered abortion on this program extensively, but here's the thing. Most of the people who've called in have expressed complaints about the barbarity of the process, you know, of a physical abortion. But isn't the pill less invasive and less of a problem? And isn't it, is this pill, particular pill, is this not designed for the morning after? This is another pill beyond the morning after?
This is not the morning after pill.
This is the abortion pill.
When a woman is pregnant, I think it prevents the pregnancy from continuing. I forget exactly what it does, but it's, you take it one and then the other. The other one you can take, but it is more painful for the woman and causes more bleeding and it's more problematic. FDA claims that they tested this, just so they have a gazillion other drugs in the same manner, of the same time frame, and that it passes their muster. You know, of course, they have approved drugs in the past that have caused problems, so they say this is a hormonic drug, just like those
all
other ones that cause issues.
All you have to do is listen to the radio commercials or watch the TV commercials for drugs, and you'll hear all the possible terrible things that could happen as a result of taking them.
Right. So, I think this is going to be a big issue, but certain people feel as though the life is, deemed by God, and it's at that exact moment of conception that life is brought to life, and so anything that hampers that is the ending of a life, and they don't want that. So.
Well, I certainly can accept the argument of viability. You know, I don't think there should ever be any abortion where the fetus is a viable one, no matter what. You know, if they let it go that long, then I think it should stay there. But the thing that bothers me is that, you know, these pills don't seem to be exactly like a physical abortion. And, you know, they seem to address some of the issues, some of the concerns that people have about abortion.
Okay. All right. Do we have a caller there for us in the last moment, Lynn? I guess not. One of our listeners sent us the daily items explanation.
Oh, yes, we do. Lance from Herman
is on the line. Oh, Lance, okay. Go ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Okay. Why, one of the things here is that pill is probably the worst that you could possibly do to somebody.
Why?
Or anything living. Well, which would you rather have? A group tells you you're going to die, okay?
Okay.
You have a choice, okay? You can get shot in the head, or we're going to put you over in a corner and let you starve to death.
Well, that's a bleak choice if there ever was one.
Well, or we're gonna hit you over the deal with the abortion.
Well, yeah, but both of those are kind of violent. I mean, starving somebody to death deliberately is an act that takes place over an extended period of time. You don't just say, I'm not going to feed you lunch today and you're dead. I mean, the way it works.
I'm pretty hungry.
What would be more misery?
Well, I don't know. Knowing you were going to be shot in the back of the head would certainly be quicker. I mean, if that's your point.
And also a whole lot less pain.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying
what you're doing is starving that fetus.
Okay, and that's what this pill does, is it takes away the nutrition from the fetus.
Right.
But is the fetus at that stage capable of feeling anything?
Well, whether it is or it isn't,
doesn't matter. Life is
it does matter. You're making it a issue of cruelty. If the fetus doesn't feel anything, how is it cruel not to feed it? I'm asking that just from a philosophical standpoint. It's
asking
your
friend.
It's your statement.
All right, we got you, Lance. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, he's got a minute yet.
Okay.
Well, you have a commercial. Okay. Okay. Thanks.
The other thing we're talking about was the with a perceived fact that the immigrants from Mexico will turn into Democrats, but lately that has not been the case. It's quite incredible, as a matter of fact.
Well, it's a cockamamie theory, anyway.
All right,
I got $5 that says when they start registering more Republican than Democrat, the border will be shut down in a hurry by the Biden administration.
Now, wait, this is what has been happening, though. This is really amazing. Hispanics in 2018 were 29% of Republicans, okay?
2018.
And then, 2018, right? In 2022, they were 39%.
What?
And this has been going up. Yes. It's Republican.
Right. Yeah, I know. There's a big
wave.
And
we're also talking about the black population, which was in 2018, was 8%, and now it's 14%.
Okay.
All right. We got you, brother.
Thank you.
Yes, I agree. This is a big phenomenon.
Too,
yeah, to assume that Democrats are letting individuals over the border illegally so they'll vote Democratic is a cockamamie theory to start with, and it's false.
No, anyway. I don't believe that.
Yeah, it's false. It's not working out. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
You're out, you're about, but you want your Dan Patrick. Well, good news, he goes everywhere with you. If you missed the show, you can podcast it. If you want to see the show, just go to Peacock, and we stream it live every weekday. Watch past episodes, too. The Dan Patrick Show, available anywhere you are, any way you want it.
Dan Patrick.
Good morning, Dan. Nice to have you guys back.
Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
Kendrick Perkins has a book out. It's a memoir, The Education of Kendrick Perkins. I thought that it's required that you talk about the Lakers every waking hour, Kendrick.
Bringing you the biggest guests and best interviews.
It gets to the point where it gets exhausting. Okay, I understand that the Lakers actually give us a reason to talk about them. It's just the effect of LeBron James, though, Dan. That's the thing, right? Like,
yeah.
When LeBron was in Miami, we talked about Miami. Yeah. Matter of fact, they had an ESPN in Miami. When LeBron was in Cleveland, they had an ESPN Cleveland. Like, if LeBron James isn't on the Lakers, we don't talk about the Lakers that damn much.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Yes, it's a Tuesday. It's hour one, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. A snow day here in Connecticut, except for us. Through rain or snow or sleet. Seton, what's the motto of a postman?
Hail, yeah.
Hail in there, too.
Yeah, throw hail in there.
How long were you a postman?
I don't know if I made it 2 years.
Okay.
Maybe. I put in a decent shift, though.
Who's had more interesting jobs, you or Paulie? Who's had more jobs?
Oh, different.
Yeah. But Seton, you were you worked as a baggage handler at the airport?
I did, yeah, yeah. I worked out like on the runway for doing like the cones and throwing bags and stuff like that.
But were you? Did you have the flashlights?
Yeah,
were you,
yeah, yeah.
You're landing us. You're waving us
oh,
in.
Oh yeah, I'm bringing you right in. Bringing you right in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did all that.
You know, I never really noticed the person who was bringing us into the gate.
How's it make you feel knowing it was somebody like me?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Wow. I'm going, I got to start looking at
a much younger me, too. Like, a me at, like, 22 or 20. So, like, that's not the me you wanted doing that.
Yeah. Hungover, you know, bringing the plane into the gate. Yes, Todd.
All of a sudden, he's got an itch, and the next thing you know, it's crashing right into the gate because he's moving, scratching his face with the thing.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Clear your throat. Yes, Paulie.
That seems like a somewhat serious job, waving in planes. I thought he just did baggage, which seems... wouldn't you have to have some type of training to wave in huge jets?
Well, I mean, it's not like you're not waving them out of the air. All
no,
you're really doing
no.
is getting them to, like, stop at a certain point on the runway. It's really not all that complicated.
Come right. on, don't be so modest.
Okay, fine, yes, all right. I'm a rocket scientist. Gosh.
Okay, but yeah. Are you trained on how to use the orange flashlights or
yeah,
whatever they are?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really doesn't take that. It's really not all that complicated.
Is it more for show?
No, no, no. I mean, it's got okay. It's got a real, like, reason behind it, and if you mess it up, it's not looked upon kindly, but it's really not that complicated.
Well, how do you screw it up?
Like, if you have them stop before the certain spot, then it's a big problem. If you have them stop after the spot, it's an even bigger problem. You kind of got to guide them in so they don't smash their wings on things. It's, you know, it's teamwork.
Yes, Todd.
So you're asking, would the pilot ultimately know where to stop? Worst case scenario, if that person didn't show up or wasn't paying attention, the pilot would somehow figure out how to stop, I would think, without crashing into something.
You just put the brakes on this segment.
Twice.
Yeah. Land the plane, Todd.
Someone wave you off.
Land the plane.
I gotta get me some of those the red, yellow things or whatever, the orange things.
That's all right. We're 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
So today will get better.
Yeah, it will. Keep your head up.
So what they really do, just to land the plane on this segment, there's like an X on the ground. Yeah. And you're trying to get that front wheel to hit the X, so a pilot would have absolutely no idea. They would have a rough idea on where to stop, but you have to get it right on that X so that when they hook the thing up, you know what I mean, people can get off the plane, but it has to line up exactly, so that's what's happening.
The jetway gets hooked up.
Yeah, the jetway has to get hooked up to the door.
When you're going, hey, you got to hook that thing up to the thing.
Yeah, you know, the thing, the jetway that you walk off of.
All righty, stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading card to this program. Make sure you sign up for the Dan Patrick Show newsletter, and it doesn't cost anything. Go to danpatrick.com, put your email address in there, slides out, bottom right corner. The backroom guys do a wonderful job with the newsletter. They send out a recap of the show, and you might get a heads up on when the next batch of Tailgate Moonshine is coming out. This program brought to you by the great folks at Dollar Shave Club. Get a top shelf shave at a regular shelf price. Dollar Shave Club, available at a store near you in the men's razor aisle. All right, got a poll question today. Got a play of the day coming up. We got Dave Roberts, the Dodger manager, a little later on. Jalen Rose, mothership NBA analyst, will join us. LeBron out with a foot injury. Although I did see the headline, and this isn't the way you write a headline, because this has emotion in it. LeBron James feared out for several weeks with foot injury. Well, who fears that? Is it a quote from somebody? Because you don't say LeBron James feared out, just LeBron James out with a foot injury, and then it could be a couple of weeks that he's out. But feared, you know, Lonzo Ball and or LaMelo Ball, he broke his ankle last night. I didn't see a headline feared lost for the season or feared it could be could impact next season. There was no fear attached to LaMelo Ball's injury. Yes, Paulie.
The Melo Ball injury headline was much less emotional. Hornets star Ball suffers fracture in right ankle.
Yeah.
Standard procedure.
Yeah. Feared out for the year. But you can't use the word feared.
Networks fear LeBron out for season.
Yes.
That's how it should be written.
Yeah. ESPN fears.
They didn't have room for networks.
Skip Bayless fears LeBron out for 2 weeks. Oh, could you imagine? But then it would be the Lakers without LeBron, and when's he coming back, and then the stretch run, and do they have enough wins? Are they going to be play-in? How dangerous are they? You know, all those things. That's how it works. Yes, Marv.
If the Lakers win maybe 3 games in a row, LeBron overrated.
Well,
Michael Jordan's team would never go 3-0 without him.
Yeah, the Lakers are getting 8.5 tonight against the Grizzlies with no LeBron James in there. But LaMelo breaks his ankle. The Hawks have a new head coach, Quinn Snyder. So he leaves Salt Lake, leaves the Utah Jazz, now going to Atlanta. The NFL Combine underway, and Derek Carr is meeting with the Jets, Saints, and Panthers. The Commanders said goodbye to Carson Wentz, the artist formerly known as. You go back to that game against the Rams. He was going to win the MVP. All he had to do is stay healthy. And tried to run it in, blew out his knee, and now here he is at the age of 30, and I don't think he'll ever be a starter again. Now, he might come in for somebody if somebody's injured, but I don't think he's a starting quarterback anymore. And it's not all on him. But this is where we start. We give you the credit, you get the blame as well. And you go back to, there's two things that come to mind with Carson Wentz. First of all, I don't know if he loves football. And that may sound strange. I've said this before. I've been around athletes who are really good at what they do. They don't love